Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They talk about GOT like nobody else. Whenever they're talking Thrones, we are overwhelmed. The fact that King's Rob and Josh are back seven hells. Game of Thrones, like Stannis, they're doing this one. Like it has been 20,000 years since Game of Thrones ended. It has only been 3 years from the start.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Rob and Josh are back in Westeros for week 8 of House of the Dragon, the Lord of the Tides. I am, of course, Josh Wigler. I am joined here by my love, Rob Sesternino. Rob.
Bring me my tea. Mm-hmm. So much tea.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
you have looked better, Rob.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It is early. It's early. Mm-hmm. It's early in the morning as
well,
we're recording this.
I've removed my faceplate.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to see me as I truly am.
Yeah. I mean, I think faceplates do just generally as like a fashion statement, maybe need to make a comeback. I don't think that this should just be, especially with the Phantom of the Opera also leaving. Somebody's got to step up to the faceplate.
You got to.
Should
you
it be me?
To. You want to be the faceplate guy?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You know, I'm like off the glasses now. Like, do I need a new facial thing? I can't grow a beard. We all know that.
Hmm. I mean, give it a shot.
All right. We'll see. Wiggler's Wombat's faceplates?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Josh, it's the end of an era. Viserys is gone.
And an
Can we
Ira.
Officially say, yeah, worst king ever.
Oh, come on. Worst king ever?
Yeah.
Are we really going to start this? We're going to drag this man after he dragged himself out of bed?
You know, the days of like a glowing obituary are over.
Oh,
you know,
these
somebody that just because somebody dies doesn't mean that they were good at their job.
Can I, this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but so I've been sucked into the vortex of Instagram reels. My brain has become diseased by the never-ending black hole of Instagram reels.
Okay.
It's the end of the day, and I'm in bed, and it's nighttime, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm stuck in the reels for like 2 hours. It's bad. I'm seeing all sorts of strange things. I'm seeing lots of pizza stuff, obviously. I'm seeing like lots of like death-defying stunts, like people like base jumping from high places to low places. I am seeing lots of like very cute children, which is very strange.
Oh, okay.
Like people's families.
You know, the algorithm knows you better than you know yourself.
Oh, my
like,
God.
The algorithm is like, okay, I know what you like. Here's some things. And then, you know, you take somebody's, I mean, most people probably would call it TikTok than Instagram. It's a little choosy that
I'm not
on Instagram
TikTok.
Reels.
I'm on the Reels. That's what makes this even worse. And so then I get a bunch of restaurant reviews. And, like, a lot of the restaurant reviews are all voiced by these people who are like, here are the most overrated iconic restaurants in New York City. You want to go and get a Chinese food place? This is the place where you should go. It's like, wow, just no enthusiasm in the voice work at all. But the thing that really drove me nuts, you're speaking of like we're out of the age of like the glowing obituary. And now what? We just drag them to hell. This was a restaurant review where the whole premise of the account was to show you all of these glorious restaurants that you will never go to, you will never get into, and they're like proud of that. And they said, we're just going to flex on you for a little bit. And they started dragging me, the viewer, for never being able to go to this fancy restaurant. And it was like antagonistic and mean, and I hated it. And it made me leave the reel. It was the thing that broke the curse.
Mm, okay.
Some account is like VIP something or other, and I was mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Okay. We'll show them.
Viserys in peace.
Swipe up.
swipe up. No, swipe out. I'm out. I'm done. I'll be back in the reels tonight, folks. Send me your reels if you got good reels at Round Howard. So, Rob, we are talking about the death of King Viserys. Speaking of, we're podcasting early, of course, here on the Post Show Recaps House of the Dragon podcast feed, which you should be subscribed to. A rating and review would be greatly appreciated. We also drop these in the RHAP feed. Hello, RHAP. Hope you enjoyed our mole coverage earlier in the week. You had a good time, Rob?
I loved it. Yeah,
we're talking about the mole on Netflix.
Yes,
there may be some mole patrol to do here on House of the Dragon this week. By the way,
you think so?
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
Okay,
but we are talking about the Lord of the Tides, and it is indeed the final ride, walk, sleep of King Viserys Targaryen the First.
Yes, and even in his death, fumbled the bag.
Oh, come on. It's not his fault. He couldn't see. It was dark.
No, no.
He's been given the milk of the poppy. He doesn't know.
So close to really like, okay, he was like adult, not an adult. He was, you know, a very lackluster king on his watch. Everything just went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
But it seemed
Helena is how you pronounce her name.
Yep. Helena Handbasket.
Yes.
And it looked like, okay, he rallied. In the 11th hour, Viserys, you know, made a statement.
I will sit the throne today.
Okay, yeah.
Was that not amazing? Was that not incredible?
That was amazing. It even seemed like Alicent was like, you know what? I got to give Rhaenyra another shot. I had Rhaenyra all wrong.
She was ready.
You know, forget about this, you know, war. Like, we got, like, this is my friend. What are
we
even doing?
She said she'll be a great queen. She was ready to just toss it in.
Yep. And then, that, you know, at 11:59, right before
the ball drops. He drops the ball.
Oh, wait, are you Rhaenyra? Is this the conversation that I was having 2 days ago? And just, like, really? This is like we're gonna have like a 80s sitcom premise. That's what the war is about.
Yeah,
not that Aegon.
No, wrong Aegon. You got the wrong Aegon.
It's a Three's Company episode.
Come and knock on my throne. Yeah.
It was a misunderstanding.
Yes. It was a bad game of telephone. Wrong place, wrong time is how this shook out. It seems like this is not how it goes in the book, in Fire and Blood, at least the way it is told to us by the maesters of the Citadel who are working on this book. Viserys is, I believe, just he takes a nap. He's been hanging out with like his nieces and nephews and stuff for the day. He takes a nap and he never wakes up. And that's the end of King Viserys, according to the book. Here we get this additional detail of like the Song of Ice and Fire prophecy that we didn't really know about until the show. And Rhaenyra is going to ask him about it earlier in the episode. Like, do you really believe in that? Because if so, you've blown it. You've divided the realm. And if you really want me to be the keeper of this secret, I need you to show up. And so it does seem like that lands with him. He is able to rally. He gets to the throne room the next morning and he shows up for Rhaenyra. And then here by the end of it, he is completing the prophecy to the wrong person. So it does seem, you know, in the very Shakespearean mold, a comedy of errors, a tragedy of errors, mistaken identity here at the end of Viserys's reign. But you really think that this was going to go well anyway? He leaves the room. He has the big epic dinner feast that he always wanted with everybody. Seems like he leaves just before the roast pork shows up, which is disappointing because that was probably pretty tasty, would be my guess.
No roast duck.
No roast goose either. So I guess we know what Viserys prefers. And so he gets carried away. And then so too does Aemond Targaryen. He gets carried away. Drunk with some form of power, and he toasts to my nephews. Hello, nephews.
Eamon's got so old. I don't understand. It was a 6-year time jump, is, not a 26-year time jump.
How expert.
Eamon was 12 in the last episode, and now he's like 38.
It makes sense. This is the kid who was able to conquer the biggest dragon in the known world.
Maybe.
The largest living, oldest dragon. He walked off that thing with just adrenaline pumping. He loses an eye that night and doesn't even care. Mm-hmm. He probably grew 7 feet the next morning.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's some sort of bond there. I miss old Aegon also. Like, that kid was like perfectly creepy enough. And now, like,
Eamon and Aegon
like
traded hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eamon's got the long hair now. And so he's
I like the Platinum Chalamet that they had last
time. Well, who knows? Maybe there could be some other Platinum Chalamets in the future, including a Timothée Chalamet. There is another Targaryen.
Oh,
another Targaryen who we have not yet met. This was confirmed by George R. R. Martin. A lot of the book readers have been very sad that that Daeron Targaryen has not.
Daeron Targaryen? Is it
D-A-R-Y-Y-N? I appreciate that you're going for the Martinian spelling. It is D-A-E-R-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's Daeron.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give him some credit and call him Daeron.
Yeah.
So Daeron Targaryen, who is another of Viserys and Allison's children, who has not been featured on the show. And a bunch of people are like, where's Daeron? Because Daeron's going to be important. And you need Daeron on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Daeron exists. He's just not on the show right now. There's reasons for him to not be here. George R. R. Martin did this big sprawling blog post the other day. He's like, don't worry. Daeron's coming. So don't worry. Daeron's going to be here. Anyway, so
unlike
Eamon,
the Winds of Winter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Daeron's working on the book. I need my intern. So Eamon toasts to his nephews, my very strong lads, and they get mad, and it gets really awkward in here. And this is what happens as soon as Viserys leaves the room. Rob, you think that Viserys saying what he says on the bed is what tips things over? You don't think that the toothpaste was already out of the tube?
It might have been. It seemed like that the adults, though, were sort of like, all right, kids, knock it off. Everybody go to your room. But now, and he sort of really set Alicent off. So this was like a major fumble.
Yeah. Can you blame the guy who is then just going to like all but explode into stardust 5 seconds later for fumbling this? When you say you're at death's door, he was like pressed up against the door, full bodied.
But for 20 years.
Just waiting for someone on the other side to like squeeze the handle. And then like they do and he falls through. Like, can that guy really be blamed for like one last gaffe on his way out?
I can. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. It's no respect for King Viserys. This was feedback we got from the great Jesse Camacho, who said, love the podcast. Less of a question, more of a statement. No one has loved the Viserys Crypt Keeper jokes more than I have.
Oh.
And I have to admit that me, like Rob, I've been waiting for him to die so the real conflict can truly begin. But almost lost in all of this is how incredible Paddy Considine has been in the role. And what an incredible send-off for the character. Never has walking across a room been as touching or badass. Has anyone walked across a room in a more touching or badass way?
Boy, I'm trying to remember.
That comes to mind.
A good walk across the room. It's almost like beginnings and endings. I feel like maybe like a baby's first step might also have also that kind of drama.
Yeah.
Like he's doing it.
I did see one really badass baby's first step in my Instagram reels the other day.
Oh,
yeah.
I think it's like a baby's day out.
Oh, well, that is a pretty badass baby as well. He really gives, is it Joe Mantegna that he's giving the business?
He gives the business. Yeah.
It's not is it John Lafayette? Is the LeCarriette is the other guy? He's the Richie Rich bad guy. Is a different tough guy in Baby's Day Out. Were you a Baby's Day Out guy?
I was not in the original time through, but I think we at least did watch it, one day. I think probably during COVID. I think it was like, all right, what else is on?
Have you crappy movie diapered Baby's Day Out?
No.
You might want to think about it.
Well, think
Crappy
about
baby's
it.
Life jacket diaper.
Yeah,
that's a ball.
Sure.
Jesse says that the moment shared between Viserys and Daemon when the latter helps him up the throne was incredibly moving. I'm excited to see the real war now begin, but this episode definitely has this sense of be careful what you wish for. You may just miss Viserys when he's gone. I think I will. I raise a glass one last time to King Viserys. I believe he deserves our respect. Mm-hmm. Jesse, I raise my mug to King Viserys, even if King Rob does not.
Here, here.
So the they're there.
They're there. Mm-hmm. Too bad they couldn't have given him one last, like, big plate of chicken for him to just house. That would have, I think, revived him a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe immersion blended, just something to get rid of it, you know, to take mm-hmm. care of it. Jesse does have a postscript. Jesse says, he didn't look super gross, though. He was literally the crypt keeper.
Yeah, the grossest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he went into full Crypt Keeper mode.
I thought he looked great.
Oh, I.
mm-hmm.
We did get feedback on Viserys from Riley, but it was less feedback, and it was less Wandoff even, and more just literally a link to the Crypt Keeper rap.
Yes. Oh, Crypt Keeper rap.
Did you know about the Crypt Keeper rap?
No.
Oh, should we play a little bit of it? We can play a little bit of Crypt Keeper rap. Hang on.
Yeah.
We won't do too much of it because, like, it's again, this
I mean,
is not.
It's the a HBO
parody.
Cinematic Universe. Yeah. Just like.
I suppose that's true.
How I watched Baby's Day Out.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. All right. So let's play a little bit of the Crypt Keeper rap. Here we go. Again, yeah. No lyrics changed. It's literally just the Crypt Keeper rap. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go.
Welcome, kitties. Would you like to dance to death? All you have to do...
Dance to death?
Crypt Keeper's party. A monster bash, if you will. Come on down!
Whoa.
Yeah. Bunch of people dancing in the crypt.
Jam.
Undulating.
Tis the keeper. For I have a tasty treat, inviting you all to a feast. Only the best of fiends can come. We'll have skeletons of fun. So come on down to the Keeper's Zoo. I'm sure it will get rave reviews. Be on time if you can. But this is the great jam. Just jam. Oh, jam.
Yeah, so that's the Crypt Keeper rap.
Yeah.
Man, I remember when I was...
Time.
You remember being in the 90s, Rob? Remember when we were in the 90s and we're like, wow, I can't believe it. We've reached it. The end of history. life will always be this, and this is modern times. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, now at the end of history, and we look back like, wow, the 90s. I can't believe that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Crypt Keeper rap.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of like you look back on that. It was like, was I just drinking milk of the poppy the entire time?
Mm-hmm.
Was any of that real?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's some tributes for Viserys.
And much like Viserys, like the milk of the poppy nostalgia, you go back to, it's like, okay, I've seen the world as it truly is. Give me the milk of the poppy back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would take mm-hmm. it back, please. Mm-hmm. It's hard out here.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bring me back to the day of parachute pants, 1990s X-Men cartoons. I don't know what mm-hmm. else was good back then. Pogs.
Mm-hmm.
The Slammer.
Yep.
Did you wear your Pogs, guy?
No.
Of course not.
I mean, like, you know, I don't want to date myself, but yeah, I was, you know, I think I was too old for that.
Yeah, I think you were too. Yeah. I think you probably would have been one of the people that, like, kicked my Pogs over.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Big pog kicker.
Yeah, pog kicker.
I was like the Aemond of pogs.
Uh-huh. Can I ask you about Aemond Targaryen?
Please.
So he has grown up quite a bit, has he not? Aemond Targaryen, he's got the eye patch. He's got the long hair. He is so good with the sword that he bests Criston Cole in single combat. This guy's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
Now if he were to walk across the room, who would have the more badass walk across the room, Aemond Targaryen or the dying King Viserys?
I mean, they do, like, have some things in common. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of felt like that they would have, like, a little bit more of a bond of, like, hey, Grandpa, you know, I have an eye patch.
Yeah.
You need an eye patch.
Yes.
Like, you would think that they would maybe like have some, but maybe it's some sort of like battle between like faceplate versus eye patch.
Do you think that now that Viserys is gone,
it's not Aemon, grandpa, it's dad. It's Aemon, dad.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's like, you know, it's like grandpa dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's granddad. You think he's going to take the faceplate? Do you think that Viserys will claim?
Oh, leave it to
that
him.
Aemon
no.
will claim Viserys.
No, the eye patch is too badass. I think if anything, he should have talked dad into. But I think that dad also was like missing like pieces of his face. Also,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you sterilize it. That could be pretty cool. Again, I'm here
collector's
for the faceplate.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you think that it looked a little crab feedery?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, I didn't think of it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm out. The eye patch was pretty cool. I got
eye patch is pretty cool. I really like Aemon Targaryen. I'm really happy to have him on the show in this form. I think he's a great character. I think he's a terrifying menace. I think the way he says nephews is really scary to me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could just wield one word the way that he says nephews, mm-hmm. I don't know what it would be. Do you have a word that you think is particularly menacing that you use that is innocuous to most other people?
Not that I can think
Subscribe.
Of.
Subscribe.
No, that's not menacing.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
It doesn't seem like a threat.
I mean, why would I threaten people to subscribe?
Wow, the way you said that was pretty terrifying.
I mean, they just want to do it.
It freaked me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So the episode is called The Lord of the Tides, Rob. Ostensibly...
The Prince of Tides.
The Prince of Tides is a different thing. Do you want to do a bonus show recapping The Prince of Tides? I've never seen it. It would be my first time.
I've never seen it either, but this sounds kind of boring.
There's another... We could, you know, more 90s nostalgia. It was the 90s, right? So we've got The Lord of the Tides... Who shall sit upon the Driftwood throne? Mm-hmm. Because the sea snake has taken an injury in the, wait for it, Stepstones.
Yep. Oh, my God.
The Triarchy.
Back, oh,
man.
My God. Like, it's like, really? It's back. It's you know, it's like COVID. It's like, this is over, right? We're still more Triarchy.
Yeah.
It's another wave of the Triarchy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, back during
We're done.
Yeah, back during the war in the Stepstones, and then like your friend is sitting next to you. You mean like now? Because we're still in the war with the Stepstones? Because that hasn't ended, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know if the king said it was over.
You kind of just have to learn to live with it, I guess, because the crown has done absolutely jack shit about the war in the Stepstones. So we just have to live with the consequences of that. The Triarchy is still doing the thing. It's still happening.
Oh, my God. I'm very sad about this development of, like, Corlys. He's not really dead, right? Like, kind of feel like that. He killed Corlys off screen? I don't know. I haven't read the book. I got to feel like, at some point, Corlys, he's coming back, baby.
If he doesn't, are you furious about this?
No, I'll forget about it. But I got to say, he's too good, Corlys. Corlys is good. Yeah. His brother sucks.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah. He's got to. Corlys has got to come back. No way we killed Corlys in a time jump.
I had this exact conversation with the great Richard Lawson on the Vanity Fair Still Watching podcast for this episode. And I said to Richard, which I'll say to you now is, you know, if they just killed the sea snake after all of the hype off screen, that would be really lame. That would be pretty lame.
So lame.
I think that'd be pretty lame.
Yeah. So I think that he's got to be back. He's got to come back.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to, you know, find his son.
Oh, maybe.
He's going to come back with him.
Yeah. It goes off on a little, maybe this is the spinoff. It's like he caught wind of what happened with Lainor. And he says to like one of his first mates, he's like, here, quick, hold my Valyrian sword. I'm going to go fake my death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go fake his death, and then he'll go off on some sort of misadventure.
Yeah. So I think he's got to come back.
Okay. So we think the Sea Snake will come back, but there's still question of what to do if he doesn't. And this is Vaemond Valerion being like, I'm going to step in and do some stuff. I'm going to step in. I'm going to be the guy who shall sit the Driftwood throne because my nephews are bastards.
Yeah, Vaemond sucks so much. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, you know, if you listen to the Mole podcast, I really was like a little bit like Shades of Sandy of like really like. Who are you,
yeah.
Vaemond Targaryen? And why probably. All of a sudden are you giving us like main character energy?
Yeah.
You why are you making it all about you?
Yeah, it's probably pretty sandy at Driftmark.
I think it's very sandy.
Yeah,
like I hate
it. Salty
came very salty. He came out of nowhere and is like, you know, really trying to, you know. Assert his will on things.
They laid some track for this last week where Vaemond is staring them down during the funeral. Mm-hmm. And he's giving his big funeral speech of like, these kids, they don't have the true blood. Which is another great HBO show that lost
its way. Oh boy.
Were you a true blood guy?
I was for a little while.
Oh!
Yeah, I was.
Suki.
What?
Yeah. As your maker, I command you, Jessica. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that show really went off the deep end.
I tell you that Emily and I fell into a little bit of a True Blood rewatch.
Oh, my God.
We made it two episodes.
Oh, my God.
Stopped and then traded it in for The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Good trade.
But good trade.
True Blood in its early days, I mean, it was still pretty bad, but it was great. It was trash. It was good trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Vaemond is going to make his big move, and this is what's going to push Rhaenyra and Daemon and their family to come back to King's Landing for the first time in a while.
Homecoming.
Some time has passed. It is another time jump has occurred, Rob, 6 years or so since the end of Driftmark, and now all of the kids are aged up. And I think famous last words, but I think that like, we won't have like too many more significant time jumps. I think we might be here. I think we might be locked.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
But we've got some new kids. We've got a new Aegon. We've got a new Viserys. So now only one Viserys, but now we've got two Aegons. To keep track of.
Yeah.
But they're babies, so they're probably not going to do too much.
Baby Aegon, that's not the Mad King, right? Like, I know we're like, we've gone so far with the time jumps. I'm like, are we close enough?
No, we're quite far away, I think. We're still, I think probably now, like, what did they say? Like 200 years at the start of the show?
I think it was 172, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think now we're close to like 150. You know, it's been about 20 years or so has passed on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not counting that first scene of the whole series in Harrenhal and how much time passes between then when you're on the other side of the title card. That's about like 9-ish years.
And what was all of Game of Thrones? Like 6 months?
Yeah, it feels like it was pretty short. Yeah. Game of Thrones is quick. It's tight. So we've hit two decades in 8 episodes.
Maybe it was 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that's a good metaphor for life these days, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one season is 20 years. That makes sense.
Did we ever have a big time jump in Game of Thrones proper?
No, there was a plan for one in A Song of Ice and Fire in the book. There was initially George R. R. Martin wanted to do like a huge time jump at a certain point in time in the books. And instead, he just kind of got like lost in wandering the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the time jump, I think, got skirted off to the side. And so there's no time jump in A Song of Ice and Fire. But there could have been. No, in Game of Thrones, they really kind of just like moved with the show. I think there is an implication of like years passing ultimately because they had to explain how the kids grew up so fast. Mm-hmm. But I think like it was not quite Jack Bauer levels of real time, but still close enough.
Yeah. Okay.
But so some time has passed and we are going to see like all the different ways in which this has impacted things. We see all of the Targaryen kids are older. Aegon is a horrible, horrible idiot who has done terrible things, and he is married to Helaena, and they do have children who I don't think we see their kids on screen in this episode, mm-hmm. but we hear about them. Did you like Helaena Targaryen in this episode, the dreamer Helaena?
Yeah, she didn't see it as weird in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she and Jace and their dance. We see Jace and Luke come back to King's Landing, and they're like, "Oh, that's the place where Kristen Cole hit the thing with the mace." And they seem to be pretty happy to be home until it's pretty clear that they're not really wanted here. What did you think of the new generation of the old?
I mean, yeah, I like these guys better than the like middle school version. Yeah. Yeah.
They like feel like real people.
I can't tell them apart still, but you know, what is it? One is Jace, and what's
Jace
the other one?
Jace is the oldest.
Yeah.
Jace
and who's
is the oldest.
Other one?
Luke is the middle child.
Jace and Luke. Okay.
And then Joffrey was the baby. Gotta love him. Now he is he's like Luke age now.
Gotta
now
love
he's
the
like
baby.
6 years old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Earl Sinclair, didn't we talk about this? We already talked about this. I think we did this. It's just always pretty close to the top of my mind is that Earl Sinclair killed the dinosaurs. So I'll just go back there pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If left to my own devices,
yep.
all podcasts will return to the end of the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Keeping with the theme of the 90s.
Yeah. It's true. So when we go back to King's Landing, we are quickly going to see that, oh my gosh, things have really changed here in the land. Like the High Towers have really latched on. Faith of the Seven imagery everywhere. The Targaryen dragons taken down. Viserys is in his room. He's like not even touching his model Valyria anymore.
Yeah.
And he's bedridden and like.
No, it's like smoke coming out of it. Like, do they make like, does somebody come in every day and like give it like volcano smoke or.
Like what? Just... Like a science project?
Yeah.
Like it's what are like the volcanoes.
Who's
that you put
doing
the,
that? Or was it like it has not been kept up and then it has actually gone on fire?
I think that it is that they have these candles that they like illuminate it with. And yeah, I think the candles wear down and then they're probably replaced.
Did he finish it?
It didn't look totally finished to me.
Yeah. You know, that's going right in the trash.
Yes.
Like his life's work. And like,
yes.
That I feel like this would be an apt metaphor. Like his life's work. Like Allison next week is just like, all right, get me a trash bag.
Yeah. Yeah, you think like the first scene that we'll
see out of here.
Next week is they're disassembling the model and just like putting it in various trash bags. Is this recyclable? Or...
Not even disassembling it, just like kicking it over and like get this out of here.
You got to break it into chunks. No,
yeah, like 20 years I've had to walk around all this crap. Just get it out of here.
You have any idea how many times I've bumped my knee on this thing?
Mm-hmm. This is
so
stupid.
Inconvenient.
This whole thing is stupid. And I'm glad. Get it out of here.
Yeah.
Get the faceplate out of here, too.
No, keep the faceplate. Faceplate's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you think now, they'll just...
Oh, is Allison back on the market?
Oh, well, yeah, but it is a little soon. No?
Is she single and ready to mingle?
I don't know about ready to mingle. I think she's, unless like mingle on
Let's
the
see.
Battlefield.
Who could she date?
Higher priorities.
Is there anybody?
Let's see. Which Targaryen family members are available?
Oh, she has to date a Targaryen? I mean, then feel like
sort of how this works. No,
I feel like she's doing her own thing now.
Uh huh. I mean, before he lost his head, Vaemond Valerion could have been quite the bachelor. I feel like potential Lord of Driftmark. That could have been nice.
No, he would have been good.
Yeah, but that's not an option really anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the Maesters.
Yeah. Well, whatever happened to Larys? What happened to him?
He's still around. He's probably in the shadows. He's probably going to be the first one to come to Alice and be like, do you need someone to get rid of the model?
The model, yeah.
I'd be happy to get rid of the model for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we'll just see him chopping up the model. You think the model is going to get thrown into the dumpster and underneath Glenn's going to be very concerned that someone's found him?
Wow. I don't know. I don't know.
Are you paying attention at all to the end of The Walking Dead?
I'm not.
You have room for one Walking Dead, and it's Viserys.
Yeah, Viserys. If you tell me to, I'll look at it.
No, maybe at the end. Maybe the final episode, depending on how it goes. Mm-hmm. You could take a look. But it's not really over. You're just going to do the Negan Maggie show.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these shows for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
So Laris is somewhere out there. But we don't see him really in this episode. But we do see that Allison is basically running things with her dad, with Otto.
Yeah. He's ageless also.
He actually, I do think, looks quite good. I think like he is one of those people that 20 years earlier reached a certain point and then maintained, just held strong. Mm-hmm. He's like, That's what I'm going for. I've reached the age of 46 and I shall be 46 looking forever. God, that's a good deal. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would be fine to freeze myself in amber at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of skin regimen you need. I doubt the leeches are involved.
Yeah. Well, I think the beard helps. It hides a lot of things. Yeah.
I think that's probably true. Did you like, just to cut ahead again a little bit to the dinner scene, did you like Otto's little golf clap? Did you see his little golf clap at the dinner table?
I loved the dinner scene. I really did. When we talk about Succession, I always say that my favorite parts of Succession is like the excuses that whatever they need to do to get everybody in one room. And those are like my favorite scenes on Succession when everybody's like around the table. And this was like as close as we're going to get to that.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of even like says that in this episode. Viserys, like, I want there to be a dinner scene tonight. I think I'm dying and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get another chance.
Yeah.
So can we do a quick bore on the floor?
No matter how much everybody hates each other, you know, they come up with some reason to get everybody in the same room. And it's always like so incredible to watch. So
yeah.
I love that this happened.
Do you think that
I
we will
for us?
Do you think we will see another dinner scene with the whole family again?
No, I think that's it.
Do you think this is the last time whole family's in the room together?
Yeah, I think that's a wrap on dinner scene.
On whole family dinner scenes?
Yeah. Like, and maybe we might get like the version of it where it's Allison and her crew where, you know, and
they're sitting and Kristen comes. He's like, I got takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like that. I think I'm a little bit more interested in the Allison version of that than like the Rhaenyra and Daemon version of it, because her kids are like nice and like well behaved.
Interesting. I feel like you're typically team Rhaenyra.
I am. I'm just saying that I think her kids are kind of like well adjusted and normal, whereas I think I like the absolute freak show that Allison's family is.
Uh huh. Yeah. That's more sitcom-y to you.
Right.
Yeah. You would follow them in like a multicam comedy.
Like she's like, all right, everybody, I made dinner. And it's like, Aemon, hands where I can see them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Aegon.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, nephews.
You knew what I meant. Yeah.
You're not invited anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get to
Aemon,
the dinner
no
party.
No dragon at the table.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the baby. That's the like animatronic puppeteered dragon character that gets all the laughs.
Yeah. And who's the daughter? What's her name?
Helena.
Okay.
Stop playing with your bugs.
Yeah. Put the bugs away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otto Hightower would be, I think, probably a standout character on the comedy version of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like all of, like the secret backroom deals that he is making. Yeah. He does like he says he has the family's best interest at heart, but he's really just trying to get away with doing the least amount of work possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Got some diabolical plan.
Mm-hmm. So before the dinner scene, we have Rhaenyra and Daemon. They're going to like make their case to Viserys. And it's very clear that Viserys, like, he's like, oh, I'm not really around anymore. Even I'm barely here. I'm barely holding on. He's like repeating questions. When he sees the two babies, it's very sweet, especially when he sees that they've named a child Viserys. He's like, that's a name that's fit for a king. But then he starts moaning and the baby starts screaming.
Yeah, I it was probably very disturbing for the baby to look onto the hideous face of Viserys.
It was harsh. It was harsh. It was a tough scene.
It is spooky season, but come on.
It was pretty spooky. It was pretty spooky. Now, Rob, are you aware of a thing in the greater A Song of Ice and Fire community known as the Grand Maester Conspiracy?
No.
In all of like your YouTube watching, your comic book girl, like the alt shift X's of the world, have you never encountered the Grand Maester Conspiracy?
No.
Remind me of it.
Yeah.
It is a theory as yet unconfirmed that extends at least as far as the events of Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones clearly did not go in this direction, but the books might, that there is this underlying conspiracy that the Maesters of Westeros are actively trying to rid the world of magic so that they can reign supreme as keepers of logic and science and information brokering and all of this stuff. Because the Maesters, they get assigned to the super powerful families of Westeros or whoever can afford them. They're in the Hightower pocket as they are part of Old Town. And they have access to like the kings and the queens and all the lords and ladies of the castles. And they know when they're sick and they know when they've got secrets. They're responsible for the ravens. So they might be responsible for the communications of people. And so a lot of people have wondered over the years if the Maesters had something to do with like the Targaryen family decline, or if they are even actively potentially trying to rid the world of certain Targaryens. And I think this episode, I saw a lot of headlines this week, a lot of like the Maester conspiracy explainers this week of people being like, I feel like there may be some juice to this and that they were slow poisoning Viserys over the course of these last 20 years. Notably, Fire and Blood, the book, is written from the perspective of a Maester, Rob. So if the Maesters have this sort of complicity in the fall of the Targaryen dynasty, it probably wouldn't be in recorded history. So this could be a thing that we might be wanting to watch out for on the shows, that this might be the mole patrol that we want to be on. That the Maesters might be sabotaging.
Yeah, other than that he was being poisoned.
Bleaching is like, maybe it's like, maybe they're like, yeah, it's clearly slowly killing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like, he doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sold yet.
You're not sold yet. All right, well, let's keep looking out for some fishy Maesters.
Sure.
Nervous. Keep an eye out for your fishy Maesters. You never know. Swimming with the Fishes is Vaemond Valerion by the end of this episode, Rob, because he shows up at the Red Keep the next morning. Otto Hightower is going to sit the throne.
He'll have a burial at sea, probably.
Yeah, he will.
Both pieces.
Yeah. They're gonna what do you think he'll tie it together?
I don't know how you would tie it together. I guess that they could put like a bonnet on him.
A bonnet? Like on the
head? Yeah, well, you need something that you can tie around the neck.
Yeah, I guess. Bonnet. Bonnet feels very Crypt Keeper. Crypt Keeper had to have worn a bonnet.
I think Viserys had a bonnet on, I thought, at certain point in this episode.
He kind of had the Jacob Marley thing going, you know? Like, like the bandage, the ace bandage around the head. So Vaemond Valerion, he's going to make his big pitch to Otto. He's very forward. He thinks he's got this on lock. It makes sense for the Hightowers to side with Vaemond Valerion here as opposed to Rhaenyra, because if they can take Driftmark away from Rhaenyra, then she really, especially when her father dies, is not going to have much of a shot at the Iron Throne. So they're going to try and take that away from her. But then Viserys, he walks in, he shows up. And I believe some of the interviews around this, Geeta Patel, who's the director of the episode, is talking about how that like took 20 minutes to shoot, that Paddy Considine just like took 20 minutes to walk across the room. And that apparently he was in like extraordinary pain in shooting the scene. So I guess, life imitating art to a certain degree. that there was some measure of this episode actually was relatively improvised, which I was surprised to hear. His crown fell off of his head, and that was not on purpose. That was not like written into the script, Rob. It happened, and then Matt Smith went and picked up the crown put it on his head and helped him up the rest of the way. And there was supposed to be this big speech that Damon was going to give at the dinner table. And instead, they're like, no, they don't need a speech. This was it. This was like the reconciliation of the brothers. And this was just something they found on the day. You would think that a show like Game of Thrones show, wouldn't have the room for this kind of discovery, Rob. But they do. And they did. And they found it.
I mean, it's practically Curb at this point.
Larry David as Viserys Targaryen. Your thoughts?
I think Larry would be much better than Viserys. I think that he would, be.
He'd be great in the Viserys and Allison sitcom.
He would be great.
Yeah.
Larry is hand of the king. You know, I mean, I love the idea of bringing Larry and LD into this universe.
If you crossed Curb with House of the Dragon and you kept it located just on Viserys' side of the family, I think Larry, a very easy Viserys. I think you probably have Jeff as the hand of the king. I don't know if you go with Cheryl as Allison or Susie as Allison. I think maybe Susie. It would be good. I think Leon hand of the king would be pretty good.
That would be great too.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Couldn't go wrong. Yeah.
So then he sits on the throne and he rules in favor of Rhaenyra, and it's no surprise there. But I think that he's probably pretty freaked out because he's like, even with one eye, Rob, you gotta imagine Viserys is sitting up there. He's like, oh god. As soon as I'm dead, this is happening all over again.
Yeah,
this is
no I good. Like that. He's like, I must be confused because I thought we decided all this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's mad because I think he knows.
Like, he's back.
Yeah, he's got to know at this point. This is another reason, by the way, that some people are shifty on the maesters. He doesn't drink the milk of the poppy that day. And then he's like, oh, I can make it.
I don't know, though, but I feel like isn't like the more likely explanation that the Hightowers liked having him all doped up where
I think
they
probably
could be
likelier.
Like it's not like the maesters were like where Allison's like, oh, come on, let's give him a shot. And like, no, your grace. Trust us. We got this.
It feels to be like this is book stuff, not show stuff. But George R. R. Martin more involved in the show this time around. So I don't know. I don't know. The Song of Ice and Fire prophecy being on the show. I don't know.
Look, if we see a maester like giving like a like, hey, like why don't we make dragon egg salad? Like that sounds like
Did you like seeing the steaming clutch
like egg salad
of dragon? Well, yeah. Do you?
I was a little confused what was going on. I got to be honest.
He just grabbed a bunch of eggs from like a
steaming pile
of goo.
Yeah.
Well, not his specifically, but his to take. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But are you an egg salad guy?
I would not eat it on an airplane. But yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty good. You get it.
I think eating egg salad on an airplane, that's like pretty misanthropic. It's like I hate my fellow man. I'm going to eat this on the plane.
Right. Yeah. In the right spot. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. In a contained tube in the sky. Maybe not.
No.
You think any of these Targaryens, though, are ever like just taking like a little to-go egg salad on one of their dragons?
I could see Aegon doing it. Yeah.
Just mowing it down. Like hungrily mowing it down.
I liked when he got slapped in the face. I feel like that we have not seen a good face slap in a bit.
No, it was good. It was good for him to get hit. We liked that. And then Vaemond gets his head chopped off after he like is really loudly angry about the Velaryon ruling. He doesn't like it, and then he insults the kids and he insults Rhaenyra. And Viserys says, "I'll have your tongue for that." And then Daemon chops off his head but keeps his tongue.
Yeah, such a clean cut.
Valyrian steel, baby.
Yeah.
It'll do it.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it was like lightsaber-esque.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Valyrian steel versus a lightsaber. What do you think? You think the lightsaber is going to cut through Valyrian steel?
I think it would melt it, no?
I think probably.
I think we've seen it melted down in different things. Yeah.
Yeah. Should someone re-edit, and has it already happened, do you think, with a lightsaber instead of the Valyrian sword?
That scene?
Yeah. It's coming, probably, right?
Probably, yeah.
There's going to be some sort of like super edit by the end of House of the Dragon where it's all lightsabers.
Maybe. I mean, is that what people do?
Is this one thing that Damon has been missing in his various hairstyles is he has yet to show us like the single braid Padawan look.
Oh.
Is that like one thing that we've missed?
I don't think we've missed it.
It probably could have done that with Viserys's hair by the end. Single braid.
Yeah, that would have been
could have been
what
good.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I've got a new look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate Sandy. She's coarse and gets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She's never on the show.
Yeah. Just shows up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Silent Sisters.
Silent Sisters, indeed, yeah.
Yeah,
her and Samara.
So Vaemond is gone. Rest in pieces. Any eulogy for Vaemond?
No, he was the worst king. That he was a total goof.
Who, the Driftwood Throne Vaemond?
Oh, Vaemond. Yes. I thought we were talking about Viserys again.
No.
Yeah, he stunk too.
Yeah, you didn't like him.
No, I like Corlys.
Mm-hmm.
This was...
Was that the one thing the dinner scene was missing, was Corlys?
Yeah, that would have been great.
If it was more Corful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would have been great. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like... when like they like put like Chris Farley's brother in movies that should have been Chris Farley.
Yeah. It was Kevin Farley. Mm-hmm. He's got to work too.
He's got to work too, but
he was great together. Mm-hmm. Again, the '90s.
Sure.
You plus me equals Viserys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was happy that we did not make Vaemond into a thing,
more of a thing.
He's
gone quicker than the crab feeder.
Yes,
ultimately,
right.
Then we get the dinner scene. We've talked about this. I thought that Viserys had like a really good moment here, where he was like, "I'm gonna die really soon."
They gave him a moment. They gave
him
a moment.
Look at my face. Look at this.
But it was fleeting.
You know, I'm not gonna
be
here.
His face. Yeah,
I'm not gonna be here for much longer. Could we all please just try and figure this out? And so Rhaenyra gives a toast to Allison. Allison gives a toast to Rhaenyra. It seems like they have some mutual affection for each other still.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves the room. Aemond just spoils the mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of thought that Viserys died at dinner. Like, they're like, all right, take him away. You know, we don't need to watch him die right at this moment.
No, he makes it through dinner. Yeah. That would have really soured the mood. What happens if he did die at dinner instead of in bed? Do we think anything changes?
I think that people would have stopped fighting. Yeah. I think that he would not have had his deathbed confessional of like, hey, make sure you start a war.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would have been better.
Yeah, maybe. I definitely think they wouldn't have eaten the pig.
Yeah.
Don't think they got to the main course if he had died there.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like, so he gets taken out of the room. Rhaenyra says, I got to get my kids out of here. She tells Allison, I'll come back. But she's going to leave. And it does feel like when Viserys is taken out of the room and he says the stuff to Allison, he finishes the story he was telling Rhaenyra earlier in the episode, or answering her question. And saying, it's true, Aegon's dream, all of it, you must do this. So he believes that it's got to be Rhaenyra, but he's saying it to the wrong person. So Allison now believes he's talking about Aegon, her son, their son together. Huge miscommunication. But
really? Aegon?
After that kid? It's like, I mean, I would have given it to Aemond. He's got more potential, but okay, it's what you want.
Screw up. Yeah.
But she leaves, and then... Viserys's final words, in addition to my love, which again, an improvisation, this was improvised, this wasn't in the script, he says, no more,
no mas.
Did he just like will himself to turn the power down button on? Like, did he shut this thing down? Is that what he did? Did he just like, I'm done?
Which was the improvisation? My love? Or
I think the whole thing. All of it. Boy. No more, no more. They just let the cameras roll.
I think that probably that this the prosthetics, I think, were so painful. You had to be in makeup for so many hours.
Carl Havoc.
Like, this was basically...
Too much shit on me. I can't breathe.
Yeah. I think he was basically like signaling to the production.
I'm
going to
rip
no
the head
more.
Off. Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
No mm-hmm. more. Mm-hmm.
Thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just say King Viserys is a lot. So, yeah, I think he just pulls the plug. He says, no more. Can't do this. Maybe in that moment, he's even realizing, like, shit, that was Alicent. Oh, man. I should try and stick around long enough.
No more screw ups. Yeah.
No, that's too hard. That's mm-hmm. too hard.
Yeah, maybe he was like, my love, come back. I've made a terrible mistake.
Oh, no. Now, in watching that scene, did you think that was the end? Oh, no. It really is. You fell in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Which they said could have been the that was filmed.
I thought it was Rhaenyra!
A Larry death scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you interpret this as Viserys is dead, or did you have to wait until the next time on Game
come
of Thrones
on, he's
to ruin
dead.
It?
I mean, yeah. I guess I've been like Charlie Brown with the football too many times, but yes. Yeah. But thank you for the trailer, but the king is dead.
Yeah, I do feel like the trailer's like, all right, we've strung this along. Like, mm-hmm. let's just let you know that that's done. I wrote in my Vanity Fair recap that the way that the House of the Dragon did this, like they did the reverse Sean Bean kind of like with Game of Thrones, Sean Bean, top of the title card. He's the main character. You're surprised when they cut his head off. Like that's like, OK, Game of Thrones can do literally anything. Mm-hmm. You're on House of the Dragon. Like you would have thought like Viserys Targaryen was going to die in like the second episode. And like especially like then he falls. And 10 years pass, like, well, he's not going to be back when we go 10 years in the future. He's like, no, he's still here. And in fact, he'll be here like 2 years after that. And then 6 years after that point, mm-hmm. like he's hanging in. Like,
he
I think that like
all the was, time jumps.
There's like no question that this character was going
Corliss,
to die.
Not so lucky.
No, there's no question this man was going to die. The question was like when and how. And it finally has happened. Do you think we'll miss him from the show? Are you going to miss Viserys Targaryen as a character to talk about every week?
Yes. Yes, because that he gave us a lot of fodder to talk about on the podcast.
Yes, he served up Targaryen realness, as Paddy Considine said.
No, he didn't.
Did you see that Paddy Considine, a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan?
I didn't see that.
Do you want to see him acting out some Targaryen realness during the filming of his death scene? You want to see this?
Yes. Okay.
So here is Viserys. He's got the Phantom of the Opera mask on. He is just like hanging out in the throne room.
Yep.
He's hunched over in the scene, but here IRL, he's just standing on his own 2 feet and he does this.
He's serving Targaryen realness.
Serving Targaryen realness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People okay.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
He's hanging out. He's doing the walk of fame, not shame.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's just so happy to not
to be out of
all this disgusting makeup on him.
Yeah, lots of great interviews with Paddy Considine right now. He had a nice tribute to the character on Instagram to his time on House of the Dragon. He says it's his favorite character he's ever played. That he said it was a love story.
Mm-hmm.
When Emma dies, so does Viserys. He never once wants the treatments. He just wants to go.
Yeah.
But he holds on for too long.
His favorite. So. Yeah. His favorite character that he's played.
Yeah. Better... Are you now? Okay. I see the look in your eye as you are clearly immediately
yes.
going to Paddy Considine's IMDb page.
Wow.
Instantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, better than the zookeeper in Wolf.
Ooh. What does the zookeeper have in common mm-hmm. with
better than Gabe Waters from Informer? I mean, let's
Gabe
not
Waters
get carried away,
character.
Patty.
Yeah. Gabe Waters was a good character for mm-hmm. sure.
Better than Mr. Witcher / Detective Witcher on the suspicions of Mr. Witcher?
What?
Yeah.
The suspicions of Mr. Witcher.
Mm-hmm.
Better than that's like as in like which one?
Better than Angus from Funny Cow?
Well, that's going to be hard to top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of Patty Considine's work.
Nobody does.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Most people don't. Well, I do. Most people don't. Most people don't.
He was in he was the writer and director of Tyrannosaur, which does not have the baby from the dinosaurs in it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Yeah. Best known for Dead Man's Shoes, The World's End, In America, and Tyrannosaur.
Mm-hmm. He had 4 episodes of Peaky Blinders.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Outsider, great HBO limited show. Did you watch The Outsider? Did you do The Outsider?
No.
Outsider was fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm more of an insider.
Yeah, I know you are. With Russell Crowe and Al Pacino.
Yep.
Blowing the whistle. Hoo-wah! All right, so that's it for Viserys. He's gone. We bid him adieu, Rob.
Yeah, he's a guy that
I think Al Pacino as a Targaryen is a missed opportunity. I hope that they find a way. Have you ever watched him do one of the Shakespeare's? Did you watch The Merchant of Venice?
No.
Offensive.
No. Let me just you that next episode.
Yes.
Are we picking this up? Is Rhaenyra even going to attempt to say, like, oh, well, I guess I'm the queen now, so I'm going to be coming in to pick up my crown. So expect me at King's Landing on Tuesday.
Well, I think that this is the tension, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see, like, how does this all shake out? You know, is this going to shake out like a normal Negroni? Or is this going to shake out like a Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco in it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You been paying attention to Negroni Gate?
No.
Emma Darcy, who plays Rhaenyra, is they're making the rounds on TikTok right now because Olivia Cooke, who plays Alicent, asked Emma Darcy what their favorite drink is, and Emma Darcy very like compellingly said a Negroni. Spagliato with Prosecco, and now everyone wants to make a Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco, which I didn't even know what the hell that was.
Yeah,
a Negroni, you put Prosecco in it because it was a mistake someone did once.
Mm-hmm.
Negronis are disgusting, by the way.
Oh wow, the hot take.
I haven't had one in many years, but a classic mocktail that gets made these days is like the fake Negroni. Horrible. It's trash.
Yeah.
That's Spagliato. Mm-hmm. That's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
No good. But I think that the question is, like, is this going to go according to how Viserys said it should go? That it's a matter of settled succession? Or is it going to be contentious? And in a recent blog post, George R.R. Martin said that House of the Dragon is going to require 4 seasons of 10 episodes each in order to properly tell this story.
My God. Wow, he's basically, I mean, I think HBO is like, fine. Okay, whatever you want.
That should tell you it's probably going to be a little more complicated than just steps right
up. You know what? I'm going to, like, look, I know a lot of times people are like, oh, Rob, your predictions, they suck. Mm-hmm. You're always wrong. All right, write it down.
Here, I'm going to
write it down. The succession will be complicated.
I think
that's
good.
It's not going to, like, people are like, no, they worked it all out. Listen, trust me. Take it to the Iron Bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's going that. I'm telling you, I there have been clues all season long that there is going to be a lot of tension between Rhaenyra and Alicent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just going to be like, I know the king is like, it's a settled matter. Yeah. Okay. But I'm telling you, write it down.
Okay.
It's not going to be settled.
Not going to be settled. When will it be settled?
Years from now.
Series finale?
If that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Might be open-ended.
Oh. Don't Stop Believing, Cut to Black.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay. Which show will settle its matter of succession sooner? House of the Dragon or Succession?
I think Succession will come to an end before House of the Dragon does.
Long term, which show will be longer? House of the Dragon or Succession? Succession moving into season 4 right now.
How many will there be more seasons of House of the Dragon or Succession?
That's my question, yeah.
I think they both end up with 5.
Okay. Ding. I'm hitting the bell. Okay, cool.
my predictions. Okay. I think that ultimately, I think the actors will want to wrap up Succession. And I think that's healthier for a show as opposed to this is more of like a show where, you know, I don't think that any of the actors is going to have the pull to say, I mean, they've recast a bunch of them. Like
Times. They'll just threaten them with the time jump.
But I think that the Succession actors will want to move on and do other things.
Yeah. But in some respects, Jeremy Strong will never leave. He'll be Kendall Roy forever. He'll cling on to him for the rest of his days. Well, we'll see who clings on to the Iron Throne when we return next week for more House of the Dragon, episode 9. The penultimate, it's called The Green Council, and a penultimate episode of Game of Thrones, Rob, it's typically a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's typically a really bad time bad for time. The people on the show, but for us, it tends to be a pretty good time.
It's interesting times, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Of course, stay subscribed. We've got so much more House of the Dragon for you this week. Grace is stepping up for me in the Game of Thrones versus House of the Dragon podcast this week, talking to LaTanya, as well as Gia Worthy swinging through a star-packed panel to talk about the episode, the Battle of the Episode Eights here on House of the Dragon versus Game of Thrones. That's next in the feed. And then it starts all over again when we resume with the Green Council next week. You'll have the recap, you'll have the book club, you'll have this podcast, plus the verses for episode 9. Just two episodes left of House of the Dragon.
I can't believe it. It's gone by so fast.
Has it flown for you?
Yes, like a dragon.
Mm-hmm. It's flown by. Mm-hmm. So stay subscribed to the feed, House of the Dragon post-show recaps, wherever you can find us. A subscription is greatly appreciated if you have it within you to search out House of the Dragon post-show recaps and hit subscribe. Ratings and reviews also appreciated, of course. You can find Rob on the internet at Rob Sesternino, talking about all sorts of stuff over at RHAP, including The Mole Patrol, Netflix's revival of The Mole. Has been a heck of a time here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the Mole Patrol. It's been so fun to tag along with you and Jess and Zed to go through week one of The Mole on Netflix, which I think has been fantastic.
Yeah, we spent 2 hours on Mole Monday with a live crowd on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube. Got pretty rowdy towards the end, I felt like. I felt very punch drunk by The Mole. Must have been all of that sparkling apple cider vinegar I guzzled.
I thought it was a Negroni.
I still feel sick. Yeah, Spagliato with apple cider vinegar in it. I still feel like I've got the vinegar taste. I have not yet washed out. It's gonna live with me for quite a while. Who do you think is the mole of the House of the Dragon? If someone is an intentional saboteur, is really the question more like, who is not the mole? Like, who's the one person that's not trying to screw all of this up?
Yeah. Boy,
feels like kind of everybody.
Maybe somebody. I did think that there was one guy that was like a real that was that
is Lionel Strong. Lionel Strong was like the only one. Yeah. Laris' dad.
Well, I like the guy that was like giving like the TPS report of like this cost this much money. They were like, all right, enough of your stupid report.
Oh yeah, Lord Beesbury.
Beesbury. That's it.
I love
more,
Lord
more of him, please. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe we'll get more Lord Beesbury next
Find
week.
Find your own Beesbury if I were you.
Oh wow. Your Beesbury wax.
You know Beesbury is not going to be a cool guy.
But he might be reliable. He could be a reliable guy.
That's Mr. Beesbury to you.
Dr. Beesbury, or is it Inspector Beesbury? The suspicions of Inspector Beesbury.
Yeah. Sure.
That's the Patty Considine show.
Famously.
Okay, at Rob Sesternino, wherever you can find him. I am at Roundhauer, wherever you can find me. I'm hiding. Good luck. We'll be back next week with more House of the Dragon. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.